Holmes & Hops is proudly supported by Platt Insurance, your local independent insurance agency offering auto, home, life, business, and farm insurance. They also have a team of specialists that help you with insuring your brewery or winery. Platt Insurance, helping you protect your tomorrow. For more information or a quote, please call them at 330-856-6244 or visit them on the web at plattinsurance.com. Hi everyone, Lisa Resnick here with Holmes & Hops. I am at home with my husband, Andrew Resnick. Say hey.
Hey, how's it going?
Good, how are you?
I'm doing all right.
We are, you don't see this, but right now we are practicing social distancing, him on one side of the couch and me on the other.
It's interesting.
But don't worry, we are fully stocked on some delicious beer. I am drinking Modern Methods Cream Ale Jeanette. And what are you
drinking? I'm drinking a Birdfish Sprinkles Cookie Milkshake IPA.
That one is also really good.
I actually haven't tried this yet, but I've heard you keep saying it's fantastic.
It is and, really good.
You know, I wanted to really just break open a Guinness today for St. Paddy's Day. Reopening? Is that what we're
doing? Oh, that's right. So this doesn't air until next week, but happy St. Patrick's.
Happy St. Paddy's Day.
I know we should all have been celebrating at home and just like we are right now.
And well, and I, am I allowed to open this yet?
All right, wait, wait. One, two, three.
But I, a little splash there. Yeah. But I figure now more than ever, we need to kind of be supporting our local restaurants and breweries and local businesses, so.
I mean, all of our local businesses. So it extends from our retail.
Like, oh, wow, that is good.
Isn't it?
It's really good.
From like Grey Boutique. My first podcast was with Amy at Brasseri. And definitely, I know that she does have an online presence to Alberini's for your nice, you could have a nice evening in dining on some delicious food from there, because I know that they're doing carry out.
Right, they're doing carry out and
I believe delivery.
Wine, or you but, can still pick up wine there?
Yes, you can. You can still pick up wine there. And also beer as well. And then you do have Casual Pint, Vintage Estates, also
Village Pump.
Village Pump. So there's all these different avenues and options that we can still support local. And when it comes to our retail stores that are local as well, we have opportunities there too. So we should definitely make sure that we follow their Facebook pages, because I'm sure that they are adapting and making changes based upon our current norm. And trying to figure out what works best for their business, as well as trying to show love and support to those that have showed them love and support throughout this time. So,
and they're getting creative. Modern Methods today had a post on their Facebook. They were basically setting up like a lemonade stand.
Yes, that was really cute.
And selling beer. So they're getting creative and they're trying to still get their product out there. And look, you know, you don't have to get out of the car and go into the restaurant. You can go pick it up. And I think everybody's taking precautions.
Tents outside the restaurants.
Tents outside the restaurants, like Blue Wolf, I think, is doing.
So, yes.
You know, people are making do and still able to shop and support local, which is what I know you encourage people to do and I encourage people to do. And so,
I mean, as the whole point of Holmes & Hops is the dynamic and the desirability that they create in neighborhoods by having these establishments around, and as well as City Champions, whomever, whatever we can do, we need to make sure that we do it, because when this ends, and which it will end, what do they say? The same, I'm terrible with sayings, this too shall pass. We want to make sure that they're able to be up and running and have their doors open for us again.
Yeah.
So.
Yeah, I like to think this will end. We were playing basketball in the league. I played on Friday, and one of the guys, as we were playing our last game, said, this kind of sounds, reminds me of playing a game while the, you know, orchestra from the Titanic is on the deck and we're going down.
Yes.
And I was like, well, that's kind of morbid. So I'm going to, you know, think about it in a more positive light there. But yeah, it stinks now, but we'll all be fine and we'll all get through it. So, you know, happier times ahead.
Definitely. And there's still happy times to be had. Like,
yeah.
You know, we might be trying to do our best to quarantine ourselves, whether we're healthy or not well, to help stop the spread. But that doesn't mean we can't laugh or smile whatever it may be, there are still good times to be had during this time as well.
There definitely are. And look, you know, for all the other parents out there, I don't think there was a lot of laughing going on yesterday and today.
Oh my gosh.
That was difficult. We're closing in on the end of day two.
And already drinking.
So it's going to be a long haul. Maybe we can all become teachers after this. So.
No,
I don't envy them at all to do this every day.
Yes, exactly. So not only do I appreciate and props to all our doctors and nurses and people on the front lines for this, but also our teachers, I think, that are going to be more revered at the end of the day than they ever were before, because educating children, let alone and your own children to boot, is a whole other ball game, and one that I learned early on I was not equipped to do.
So I thought I would probably just take a You promised me that I could be on the podcast at some point, and I thought I'd maybe just have a sip or two of a beer, but I think given today, I might crack open another one or two before it's over.
I judge not, so it's totally okay. So one of the things that I did want to talk about with Andy was he is actually not a fellow native of the Valley.
I am not.
No, you're not. I mean, I feel like every year you're a bit more cemented in, if you will. But I thought I would talk to you about, because when we first started dating, the Valley has definitely changed.
Should we add some context to this? So we started dating in 2004.
Yes.
I think my first trip downtown was maybe to Imbibe in the Draft House that
night. It was
night.
Definitely the
but
Draft House.
But that was definitely the only two places downtown to go to.
Yes.
And it was get in the car and hightail the heck out of there.
True.
Before it got too late.
Very true. And I don't even know if BW3s at one point was still in existence at that time.
It was. No, I remember BW3s, but we never went in there.
I mean, I did when I was in college.
Yeah, but we never went in there for whatever reason. But anyway, we digress.
Yes. But so you've seen the changes as well as I have. And we were still in the DC metro area. And contemplating moving back to the area. Of course, I was definitely the driver in that sense because I wanted to move home.
Well, I mean, I think there's something to be said for moving home. I think I don't want to get too much into personal details, but I think, you know, we were in DC and, you know, I was commuting into the city an hour and a half each way. Wasn't really able to participate that much in the boys. Granted, there wasn't as much going on because they were younger. There was a lot, but it was still, you know, it wasn't as much as it has been the last 2 years, right?
True.
And it just took its toll, that and the cost of living. And then we were, you know, between your business taking off and everything, like it just, there was a different, I think we both realized there was a better and different way to do things. And that's why we started looking to move. And yeah, the last 3 years has totally been a struggle. So I'm not just from here. I'm from the complete opposite of here. So I grew up on Long Island.
Well, I think suburbia, no matter where you are. But
I had a city of 11 million people 35 minutes away to where I grew up. You know, I grew up going into and hanging out. And, you know, when I'd come back home from college, we'd all go into the city and hang out and all that stuff. So it's a much different everything from just having your major sports teams right there. And I am a very rabid, obnoxious New York sports fan, as everybody will tell you.
Yes, I agree.
Yeah, you know, to the extent our dog is named after a 1986 Mets player.
Luke Wilson.
We don't have to get into that. You know, everything from just the sports teams to just options on everyday life is different. So to go from New York to D.C. where I went to college and then stayed down there and then we moved back there. We met and more briefly live in Cleveland. Moved back to D.C. for that amount of time. And then to move here, it's a shock. Right. It's a shock to the system a little bit if you're not from here and not used to it. Right. And visiting is a little bit different.
Yes.
So there's an adjustment. And I think, it was a rough adjustment. But I think now that, you know, our kids have been involved in more things and we're more involved in the school and we're meeting more people and our neighborhood is fantastic.
It truly is.
You know, and you start actually, you know, making friendships and putting down those roots, it becomes a lot easier. And it's a great place to do that.
Now, I personally believe the greatest friendships are developed right here in the Valley. I mean, I will have to say
that she's very biased in that.
I'm very biased, but the greatest friends I've ever had are from here, even when we all collectively moved to the DC area, some in Maryland, some a little bit further in Virginia. I mean, we still were all connected and we still all had each other.
No, look, I mean, I've got great friends that I've known. You know, I was joking around with one of my buddies because, you know, I turned 40 last month and he turned 40 the other week. And, you know, we were joking around that on text message, a bunch of us that, you know, we've known each other for, you know, 35 years. That's ridiculous. And, you know, I've got a bunch of friends that I grew up with, a bunch of friends from college that I still keep in touch with. But, you know, there is something about the group of friends that you've had here from Ohio since college that, yeah, that did live down in Baltimore and D.C., oddly enough. But I feel like it was –
some of them fought for it and planned for it.
it was harder to win their approval to ask you to marry me than it was your own family's.
Yeah.
And, I mean, it's a hard group to break into because you have that mentality. And I don't know if it's maybe just a small town thing where – you know, they all went to, you know, went to elementary school together. They grew up together. They went to high school together. They went to college together. They pledged the same fraternity together. They all moved to the same city together. And you've been friends with them for some of them that entire time.
I mean, they're my family.
Right. They're an extended family. And then I come along and I had to prove to them that
not
I was
part
worthy,
of the circle.
Not just to hang out with them, but that you were going to be okay. So that just kind of threw something into the dynamic. But, you know, It's a different culture. It's a different way of life. And it's welcoming to somebody who's so used to the fast pace. And trust me, you know, especially like the kids will tell you, like when I'm in the car and somebody's going slow, like it definitely shows that I get frustrated. But I mean, so do you.
Yes.
But
I have road rage issues.
But those are, yeah, right. So, but those are the things that you can get over. So,
and it is true because we're not a heavily transient area.
No.
Although more and more often do I meet people that are from other states that have moved here because of a job.
Well,
or because they had a spouse from here that they relocated here for them.
Well, that's, you know, what was it, that first Halloween that we were walking around the yes. neighborhood and somebody said, "Where are you from?" And I said, "New York." And he said, "Oh, well, what brought you here?" I said, "My wife's from Boardman." He just kind of looked at me and goes, "My wife's from Boardman too." Turns out he was from Detroit. And was, you know, she had to move here as well. So,
yes,
well, we're starting our own group. We're going to meet every Thursday of the month at a bar near you and commiserate.
Now you just recently switched occupation. Well, you didn't really switch occupations. You switched jobs, if you will. So, Andy, beforehand, just a quick. Let's see if I get this correct.
Nobody ever understands what I do.
No, but that's
including
okay.
You.
I don't
I've
even
explained it to you. Yeah, for the last 16 years.
But Andy, for a long time, he worked at Five Corner Strategy, a political consulting or public affairs firm.
Perfect. Yeah, that's actually exactly what it was.
Thank you very much. I mean, so it was anything that he worked on, from passing wind energy projects to marijuana legislation to soccer fields. I mean, really, you guys.
Any big project that somebody was opposed to.
Yes.
Somebody would call us up and say, "Hey, run a campaign to find a support to get it passed."
Yes. And then even before that, he worked at Inova Hospital or the Corn Refiners, or where we met was actually on Capri Cafaro's campaign up in the Cleveland area. Before I then moved to DC to work at a mail firm, and then you went back to your hometown, Long Island.
I feel like nobody who's in the world of politics, you know, when they hear you say mail firm, there are probably different images there. So a direct mail firm that designs little mail pieces that go out for little candidates.
Yes, that's more accurate. But now you're at American Make. So this even cements them even further into our area.
Yeah, I'm hooked.
Which
I'm not
going anywhere
now.
Love.
Yeah, I've got a job. And I call it, you know, just based on my experience in political campaigns and then, you know, lobbying at the healthcare system and lobbying for corn refiners, who are the people who make high fructose corn syrup. And that's that can be like a whole nother episode, that job experience, but being their, you know, spokesperson in public face. But, you know, to now, you know, coming here and really like finding a DC job in Youngstown, right? It's everything that I had done throughout my career and wanted to continue to do, but was always had in the back of my head, well, all right, we're making this move. What happens to my career? Am I going to be able to do that? And then just to have this opportunity here was fantastic. And I think that speaks to everything that's going on in Youngstown. And you know, that was one of the reasons when we moved here was like, you know, we looked at Cleveland, we looked at Columbus and
Hudson.
And yeah, we looked very heavily in Hudson and almost put a bid on a couple houses in Hudson.
Yes.
Just because Cleveland would be so much easier for both of us, really, from a job perspective. But I think we took a step back and saw there are so many cool things happening in Youngstown and the opportunity to be a part of that.
But not only that, but I felt like it was basically...
Well, and family and...
Yeah. Doing the same thing in a new location and removing... And granted, it was 45 minutes away from the area, but I feel like the same problem would have happened there versus sticking closer to my family.
Yeah.
And it does take a village.
Absolutely. But I feel like America makes it's just so indicative of what's happening downtown.
So for all those people out there that don't quite understand what American makes is,
yeah.
Like this is your opportunity to tell everyone exactly what it is and what it's actually doing to our area, how it's benefiting.
Yeah. Well, and what it's not is I think actually just as important, right?
Okay.
I guess you're really putting me on the test to see if I can do my job.
That's right.
I'm the new communications director there. So, but it so
what I do best.
So America Makes is the institute, the federally backed institute for additive manufacturing or 3D printing in the United States. So not to get like way too much into history, but back in 2012, you know, as part of the recovery effort, you know, from the recession, the Obama administration announced a series of manufacturing institutes, and they're modeled after institutes in Germany. I think Germany's got like 25 of them or something like that. And they basically what they try to do is they try to create domestic competitiveness amongst different sectors of manufacturing, right? And it was in a day where manufacturing jobs were being shifted overseas and factories were closing and all that stuff, that the Obama administration said, well, we're going to create these institutes that are going to be managed by the Department of Defense. Some managed by, I think there's 8 institutes, I think. 6 are managed by the Department of Defense and 2 are managed by the Department of, I can't remember if they're Commerce or Energy. Anyway, America Makes is Department of Defense. So anyway, so there was a bidding process that went out, and I think a combination of folks, including Youngstown State University, YBI, the organization that manages, that eventually won the contract and manages America Makes, which is the National Center for Defense Manufacturing and Machining, NCDMM, which is actually who I am employed by. They put in a collective bid to have it in Youngstown.
Okay.
Because of the loss of manufacturing, the identity of manufacturing here, and kind of what was going on between YBI and Youngstown State at the time.
And you just took away my next question. Thank you for answering it.
Well, you're welcome. Thank you. That's a good communications professional who knows how to preempt questions.
Uh-huh.
So they decided to be awarded it to Youngstown and put it in Youngstown. And what America Makes is tasked with doing is that the mission is very clear. Accelerate the adoption of additive manufacturing throughout the United States and raise the competitiveness of the U.S. manufacturing industry and national security. So we work directly. We have 200 plus members as part of the organization that we work directly with. And basically what happens is when the Department of Defense or anybody for that matter, but it has mainly been the Department of Defense, has a project need or we want to find ways to increase the safety of fighter jets using 3D printing, right? To see if that's an option. So they come to us, we put out what's called a project call, and we convene all the different members that we have. And we have members who are huge players in the defense contracting industry, like Northrop Grumman, Lockheed Martin, GE, Hewlett-Packard, Siemens, a lot of those huge companies, as well as very small companies that are in the area. You know, Juggerbot 3D out of Youngstown is a YBI portfolio company. Humtown products down in Columbiana. So we run the gamut, but we convene all of these players together and we say, okay, collaborate. And here you go, and come up with a system, with an award, and we start working on the project. And we have project managers internally that will guide the project from start to finish. But it's really cool because I don't think people realize that Youngstown has a defense contractor, which is essentially what we are, in downtown Youngstown. And when you have defense money coming into a local community, I mean, you and I have seen what that does in Northern Virginia.
100%.
That's tremendous.
I mean, Crystal City was mainly built upon
defense contract. And the same with Loudoun County, where we lived. And, you know, I think what we're seeing right now is just the tip of the iceberg. So America Makes was just awarded a new contract from the Department of Defense. Or I shouldn't say that. I should say that NCDMM was awarded a new contract from the Department of Defense to continue operating the America Makes Institute. And if we do everything in the contract that we're supposed to over the next 7 years, it could generate $322 million in defense, in government contracts for this area, you know, through this area. That's a huge amount of money. And when you're able to do that and then combine it with a great ecosystem that we have for 3D printing in our area through YBI helping young companies and their entrepreneurship.
YBI is a fabulous source to tap into.
Absolutely fabulous. And their success stories are huge.
They are.
But you have YBI kind of generating the entrepreneurship, and then you have Youngstown State with the academic research function of it. And then you have us bringing, you know, government money to the table. That's a potent mix right there that only, you know, if you think of like the research triangle in North Carolina or Silicon Valley in California, those are pie in the sky goals, but that's how they started.
Now explain to us, not that we all don't, because we do, we love and are fascinated by the whole defense contracting portion of America Makes and their partnerships with YBI and with YSU and the city. What can you explain a little bit more about the NFL?
I was just going to say, let me actually use a better example that people might actually get a kick out of.
And the helmet, which is way more intriguing to have these players that were in our area this past winter.
So this is, this is actually really cool, but this is before I came on.
Beyond the 49ers, we had other players.
And actually a great guest to join me would probably be Aaron O'Donnell, who's our Director of Strategic Partnerships.
Okay.
And Community Relations. Who spearheaded that whole initiative internally for America Makes. So I think what happened was just by virtue of having Mr. York and the, you know, the connection obviously with the 49ers.
Is it Mr. Or is it Dr. York?
I'm not sure.
I think it's Dr. York.
Probably should figure that out. So,
it's Dr. York.
We will just say the 49ers.
Their
Youngstown connection.
The York DeBartolo family.
They had kicked this idea. They had been working for a while on what are some different ways to improve player safety through technology. And obviously additive manufacturing or 3D printing, which is additive manufacturing is what we tend to call it.
Yes.
But additive manufacturing was a natural fit for that. So as that process evolved, they eventually reached out to Aaron and said, hey, we should convene. Youngstown would be the perfect place to do this with America Makes as the institute and everything happening at YSU and the incubator companies at YBI. We should convene, you know, all those, that ecosystem combined with players and owners and you know, heads of, you know, the team medical directors and all that's that, we should convene them together to talk about player safety. So that's what happened. So there was a huge conference here last November. The NFL came in. There were a bunch of players that came and represented.
They stayed at the Doubletree, right?
They stayed at the Doubletree.
Probably ate at the Bistro.
So we're getting all our, you know, probably drink at Noble Creature because it was right downtown. Got some Space Cat barbecue.
Yes.
So, you know, you kind of check all those boxes. But it was really cool. It was really cool. And it didn't get as, I like to say that if I was there, it'd get a lot more publicity because I have,
oh, okay.
it got some local publicity and stuff like that, which was really cool. But it was awesome. And I think there's a real play there. And I think this struggle that people see with additive manufacturing, it's the either think one of two things. It's something I'm never going to be able to see, touch and feel. Right. Because I just don't understand the concept of it, because especially around here, it's not this huge steel mill. Right.
Yes.
It's happening in a, you know, in a fifth floor office space. Right. And it's
I think that is the most difficult part about you can't touch and feel the product. I mean, you can at the end of the day, but.
Or it's a little trinket that I can like pick up at a souvenir store. Right.
Exactly.
And I think what the NFL conference showed is that it's neither of those two things, right? Like it has very real application. So as far as meeting the needs of something that everybody can visibly see on every Sunday and every Saturday, right? You know, improving player safety is a big topic right now that everybody can see. But I think also to help the America Makes mission, which is really to help the Department of Defense enhance efficiencies on the battlefield.
True.
It's a big part of America Makes mission, which we can get into later. But, you know, everything that you, I see you smile because you heard the accent come out. everything that you're doing with...
The more... Here's a little secret. The more Andy drinks, the more of a New Yorker he sounds.
Which is why, regardless of what I said before, I'm actually going to only limit myself to one. But, you know, all those cool things that you're doing with, you know, player safety and improvements to the helmet can also be applied to soldiers on the battlefield. And that's kind of where the synergy...
Oh, I never even thought about that. That's pretty amazing.
So that's why America Makes was very eager to get involved as well, because it's something that can be applied to our mission as improving soldier safety on the battlefield for the Department of Defense.
That's interesting, because when you think of, and I could be completely wrong in how I recall what I learned in history, but I mean, if you think about the applications of during wartime to actual day-to-day use, I mean, we don't realize how many items or systems that we utilize that were developed because of time of war or defense preparing. And now we just either drive them around or like...
Well, I think like the, you know, the looking at your computer, right? The personal yes. computer is the perfect example of that, yes. right? Like the personal computer was created so that, you know, there could be better communication in the field of battle.
Yes.
You know, the internet was created so that
the satellite,
right? Like all of that stuff. Like we turn on the TV to watch DirecTV. Like that was created so that there could be better communication amongst field, you know, theaters of battle, right? So that it drives technology. I don't think people realize that. And again, that all ties back to having a defense contractor, you know, operating in Youngstown is a big deal because of the other surround, you know,
Do you think it has the ability to drive other businesses to be located near them?
I definitely think it can. I definitely, it creates a tremendous opportunity for other businesses to tap into that same stream of revenue.
If you're looking for commercial real estate to do that, you can right. definitely tap into me.
We're taking over Youngstown one industry at a time. I definitely think it does. And I think it's an important piece of what's happening in Youngstown. And I think it all gets back to like, we have to diversify ourselves. You know, I think like what's going on up in Warren is fantastic.
I think so too.
You know, with, you know, with what Rick's amazing. Doing at Bright, the energy incubator up there, the energy storage incubator in the Voltage Valley.
Yes.
From a branding perspective, I was like, hey, what about 3D printing? But you know, but they've got something real going up there, which is great. And they're diversifying. And that's what we have to do across the region as well. And 3D printing and additive manufacturing is a large piece of that.
So you just need to sell it more.
We need to sell it more.
It needs to be part of us in real estate, our portfolio, to sell the downtown Youngstown area more, to help drive businesses that they understand. I mean, I don't know how many employees that you have working in your office, but
and again,
everybody counts.
I think it's important to remember, you know, what I said before about, you know, what America makes is not. Right.
Okay.
And America Makes is not a manufacturer, right? We don't actually produce any materials. We convene.
Yes.
We foster collaboration. So to that end, we've got in our Youngstown office, we have 10 people. NCDMM's main office is in Blairsville, Pennsylvania. There's another 25 people out there. And then we have a couple, you know, other satellite offices spread around that have one or two people.
But you guys also like go back and forth when it comes to, there's times that Blairsville comes to Youngstown. Oh,
yeah, 100%. America Makes is based out of Youngstown.
Yes.
So everybody that works in Youngstown.
It's your main headquarters.
Works, their main day-to-day job is to work on advancing the Institute of America Makes.
Okay. So now that we have the American Makes whole thing done, I am out there, and hopefully people can understand it a little bit more, because I know from you working there, that's definitely helped me understand what role they play in our area. They're not just any business that's down there. It's a business that we should all be promoting and making sure that we basically shout it out loud and shout it with pride that we have this functionality here.
Yeah.
And how other people and other businesses should be taking advantage of the fact that we have that. And again, I can't say more YBI, and that we have that ability for the entrepreneurs or people who are looking into creating their business and having both so closely related and so closely together is absolutely an extreme benefit that we have to offer in Youngstown.
Yeah.
And it does. I mean, it's not just like bright and worn. It's not like if you come over from Mahoning and they're like, oh no, same thing with YBI. It's not like if you come from Columbiana or Trumbull County that they're like, sorry. No, it is the Valley. These are systems that could be utilized and help out in Valley. Well, actually, YBI have the, sorry, I'm definitely over talking to him, but like the YBI actually.
Welcome to the Married Couple Podcast.
YBI. Actually, that woman, a woman-based business out of California that had a need.
Fritz Frames.
Yes, yeah. Fritz Frames. Yeah. She, go ahead.
No, that's a great example of, you know, a 3D printed product that you can touch, feel, and buy. Right? Like it meets a need. And I think that's kind of where,
and that's where here.
They have moved their production to Youngstown. So I think she's based, I'm not sure where in California she's based out of, but
that's okay.
Through YBI, they moved their production here. And the need was she couldn't find custom fit, eyeglass frames for her kids. So they started 3D printing them, and they've got a great app where it's very, like, if you've ever seen the Warby Parker?
Yes.
Same kind of concept, right? Like you take a picture and then you can try on the different glasses with your picture through the app. It just won Fritz Frames' app actually just won an award. And then the custom print, which is like still like to wrap your mind around that, like the custom print, they don't custom build, they don't custom put together, like the custom print, the frames, and they send them back to you. And that's fantastic.
And I actually know someone local in the area who did purchase one.
Durable.
They're extremely durable.
There's no
pins,
there's no nails. There's just kind of like a ball and socket joint to them. So they're very, very durable. But yeah, it's pretty.
And she was an adult. So it's not just for kids. It also extends to adults, which is nice. And I, who wear glasses and have a very difficult time finding frames that fit my face. I appreciate, actually, and have recently downloaded the app so I could be able to purchase my frames from them as well. And typically, our eye doctors around the area will fit your prescription to those frames. So that's definitely something that you can ask for when you're meeting with your ophthalmologist or optometrist, depending on which one you choose to go to. But again, back to you moving here, and
we have to get back to that topic.
Yes, we do. So, I mean, obviously, it was an easy sell to him as a New Yorker and a person who paid the mortgage over in DC. We saw the prices of our area.
Well, that once I saw the prices, it was an easy sell. But do you remember when we bought our townhome in DC?
Oh yes.
And it was funny just to kind of as an example of like the difference in cultures that our families are used to.
Very different.
It was my family in New York thinking we got like the steal of the century. Like it was the greatest real estate deal ever.
My family thought we were dumbasses.
Her family thought we were crazy. And
there was no yard. Yeah.
But I think, what sold me here is, I mean, it's amazing. Like we've got, you know, a great house and a great neighborhood.
We're very lucky
and paying half the price that we paid in DC. I mean, that's ridiculous. But I think it goes to show here that there's opportunity here. There's a lot of tremendous opportunity here. And you're seeing that with America Makes. You're seeing that with YBI. Everything happened downtown. And you've just got people who want to move here because the cost of living is so much less.
It is so much less. And we also know, living in the DC metro area, how far the city limits can truly extend when it comes to occupations.
You know,
because you have people that live like literally not traffic wise, but distance wise, they lived an hour away from DC, and that's where they went to work every day. And that's just distance, not including commuter time.
You know, it's funny you say that, because I've always kind of felt like that's the thing that has never really, I guess I've never really understood, like, why can't we make that like next step, right? In terms of like, it's such a lot, in my mind at least, like it's such a logical step to say that we're part of the extended Pittsburgh or Cleveland metro area.
Yes. Right?
We say we're halfway between, well, where's Youngstown? It's Northeast Ohio. Well, we're in Northeast Ohio. Well, it's an hour from Pittsburgh and it's an hour from Cleveland. Well, how far? Well, it's right in the middle, right? Like that's what everybody has to say. And it's like, it's a mouthful to get through that, right? But like, if you think of Winchester, Virginia, right? It's probably about the same. It's what, 55-ish miles or so?
55-ish miles, but it is literally like 2.5 hour commute.
It's part of the actually, D.C. Pittsburgh metro area.
One of our friends from Austin Town.
Not Pittsburgh, sorry. It's part of the D.C. metro area.
Yeah, one of our friends from Austin Town who lived in Fairfax County in Virginia and is a firefighter in Fairfax County moved out to Winchester.
Because of the cost of living.
Because he's able to buy the house that he wanted with the land that he wanted at a much more affordable amount.
Yeah.
And the school systems there were good. And be able to, and he is commuting nearly an hour and a half, an hour and 45 minutes a day for his job. But to him, it was well worth it to be able to go home to that.
Well, and I think that's such an important piece of, look, I mean, Youngstown can 100% be its own thing, right? Like, and
I mean,
but at the same time, I think there are certain advantages to identifying yourself with a larger metropolitan area. And I don't know if it's the fact that you drive between, I don't know if it's the fact that, you know, you drive between here in Pittsburgh and here in Cleveland and it's just farm country. You know, I remember picking my brother up from the airport the first time he visited here and him saying, oh, it's really, you know, no different. What is it, like 55 minutes to get to Pittsburgh airport from here? He's like, oh, it's no different from getting from like, you know, JFK out to, you know, mom and dad's house in New York. And it's, I said, yeah, the only difference is that instead of just, you know, suburbs and buildings, it's farmland. That's the only difference. So I don't know if that creates like that natural disconnect. But to me, like for economic development, being tied to a metropolitan area is so important from not just an economic development standpoint, but from a transportation standpoint and from a mentality standpoint.
But I do think recently that the chamber has done a good job trying to connect them all and showing that we're all in it together when they're trying to drive business to the area. And I definitely also think the Bureau of Tourism has done a pretty good job as well. And when I say the chamber, I not only mean the Youngstown Trumbull, but or Mahoney Trumbull. I also am talking about out in Columbiana. I mean, Columbiana has done an
Columbiana has done a fantastic job.
I mean, I love the progressive and like how they look at things in a different way, and they're going outside the box of the traditional mechanisms and ways and systems that we've done things in our area and pushed the envelope and brought new things in. And I don't know how far they reached in learning, because I'm a huge advocate of learning from what other people have done, their trials and errors, and applying that to our area.
Well, and I mean, I can't tell you how many times in the last like 2-3 weeks I've heard about the tax abatement.
Yeah.
And I got to tell you, if I'd known about the tax abatement when we were moving here, that would have been a no-brainer. Oh, I'm not going to pay property taxes for 15 years. Just I have to finish my basement or something like that just to improve my house, and then I'll get no taxes for 15 years. That's a pretty good deal.
They apply that to commercial as well.
Yeah.
And they do offer a lot of grant money too, depending on what your commercial sector is, industrial or whatever. They do have grant money out that way that you can tap into, which is nice. And Youngstown has those things, as well as Warren has those things. So I mean, it's just knowing who to talk to, not just saying, oh, this can't be or we can't do it. Tap into the resources we have in our area to see if it is achievable. I mean, and I'm sure you can attest to this, the worst thing you can ever tell me is no. Like,
it is actually the worst thing you could ever tell. Like, trust me from experience, it's awful.
I will push and push until there is no doors. And even then, I'll say, okay, maybe now is not the right time, but trust me, I'm not giving up on this. And I do think that that's what we all need to do when we have passions for things and we are looking at different avenues and we have our dreams. And even though, again, we are going through a difficult time, no matter what, as positive as you can be, you can't take away from the fact that this is a difficult time in our country right now. But I would hope to God that this wouldn't stop people's entrepreneurial minds. And I would hope, if anything, they take this opportunity to maybe hunker down and do those business plans and brainstorm and figure out.
It's funny you went there, because it's, you know, I think one of the things that really surprised me when we moved down here, right?
how brilliant everybody is here.
Just Nobel laureate winning brilliancy is just all amazing. Over the place, everywhere you look. No, that sounds really
people,
bad. I'm
great
sorry.
People, but, great people come from the valley, for sure.
But
at least in my mind.
I have, but in all honesty, like I've heard that even before we moved here, and you used to tell me that about your experiences in DC, and now I've heard it even more since we moved here.
No lie.
People will hire people from the Midwest because there's something about the
work
ethic.
Any job I went to,
just,
employers loved us from Northeast Ohio.
Can we curse on this podcast?
Yes, you can.
Just like the whole, like, you know, fuck it, we're going to do it.
Yeah.
Because the job has to get done attitude is...
I will have to say, you're the first one to say the F word, though.
I mean, I go for get the distance, why not?
Awesome. Go on.
Anyway. I have the George Carlin routine in my head now, things you can't say on TV. Should we just check the box and go down the entire list right now?
You're fine.
But I kind of, you know, I think one of the things that I didn't expect that I think we saw when we moved down here is just the entrepreneurial spirit that's down here. And so many people just have that attitude of just like, I'm just going to change things myself and I'm going to do it myself and I'm going to take this opportunity and make it work and make it happen.
But we're also very lucky to also have people in a position to help make it happen, to be able to go to another business owner or whatever it may be.
A community, and say, okay,
I want to do this. This is what I have. What can we do to make this happen? And so, I mean, you don't get that. I can tell you working in commercial real estate in DC, you do not get that.
No, I think that's...
If you don't have the money backing you and you don't have your business plan and everything laid out and proof of your success, it's very difficult to break in that door.
There is a sense of community here that we never experienced there, right? Which is tremendous. But I think to your point, like that just drives everything else, right? It makes you feel more confident that you're going to succeed if you go off on your own. And you try to do things because you have that network underneath you that's going to make sure that you're okay. Like everything that you're doing right now, like you have the support of the people that you worked with and that you're promoting, right? Because they see it's a mutual respect. It's mutually beneficial.
Well, I think it's that I know any number one.
And you have their support and you have their back.
If it wasn't for them, I wouldn't be.
Right.
And it's from the larger scale, whether it's Walk Youngstown and the collaborative effort. Yeah. And the teamwork with other city champions and nonprofits and city council, everybody that like was a part of that to Homes and Hops and people being part of what I'm trying to create here. I mean, I am in all honesty, and I am nothing without all those other people. I understand their significance and their importance, and I want to personify, is that the correct word? Exemplify, whatever it may be. I want to like shine it out there for everyone to see what great things that we have and what I see in our area. That's what I want to happen.
Well, and I think that's kind of where I was going with it is that in these times right now, when things are tough and they're challenging, and I mean, we don't know what we're going to wake up to tomorrow. And we don't know, you know, 2 o'clock, you know, our daily press dose of DeWine, right? That's what I'm going to start calling it, daily dose of DeWine, DDD. Let's tag that right here, our daily dose of DeWine at 2 p.m. every day, Ohio TV channel. Hashtag daily dose of DeWine.
I mean, honestly, he's done a fabulous job. He really
does. He's done an awesome job. But, like, we don't know what he's going to say, right? Like, he could come out and say, hey, everybody go outside and play for 5 minutes, and then you're back in for the rest of the year.
I don't think he knows what he's going to say.
No, which is why he's 45 minutes away.
Yes. Because he's like, wait a second.
Right.
I was supposed to say this 25 minutes ago.
Right. So it's all,
now you're coming at me with this.
My point being, it's all so fluid. And I think what I was kind of saying before is that there is that sense of entrepreneurship, that sense of like, yeah, you're going to knock us down. We're going to get through it. And that sense of community that I really think like this is a trying time, but I think this area is so well positioned to come out of a time like this even stronger. And I think you're going to see new businesses, and I think you're going to see new ideas, and I think you're going to see a stronger sense of community, because people are just like, you know, there's that Youngstown grit, right, that everybody talks about that I think you're going to see really work to our benefit right now. And I don't think that's a myth. As somebody, as an outsider who gets to witness that every day, I don't think that's a myth. I think that's
great
actual, you know, that's the actual mentality of this place. And I think in times like this, that's when it gets tested in other areas. And I think you're going to see us come out of it stronger just because of that mentality and that kind of spirit that people have around here.
Because I don't believe there is one facet that is not impacted by what's happening right now.
No.
And at one point, like in the real estate market, I'm not going to lie, we were flying high there for a little bit with this. But now things with everything that's happening, I mean, it's definitely been impacted.
I'm glad we're able to check the box off now on the homes.
That's right. Thank you.
45 minutes in, we've now checked the homes box.
But so real estate definitely has slowed down. And understandably so, and somebody who also wants to respect what the governor is asking of us, I hate it and understand it all at the same time.
Yeah.
And I mean, the small businesses that are being impacted, like, I mean, I even think about Platt Insurance right now. How much are they get hit with questions and everything for what they do. So insurance companies are also being impacted.
But the flip side of that, right? Not to make it personal on one person, but like, you know, Ellie's got the mentality of just like, all right, well, you know,
Ellie has like we'll adapt
and we'll come out stronger. And it's, you know, and that's what 100%. I'm talking about, every business down there.
And that's how she is in life in general, like in general. And I love that about her. And that also what makes it easy that she is a sponsor of Homes and Hops as well, is because I think that we have a lot of the same beliefs in how we also move forward in life.
Yeah.
But definitely reach out to her if you need to. I'm sure she'll be there for you to ask questions. But and even Bergen Real Estate too has been absolutely phenomenal throughout this whole trying time, if you want to say, but
I think that's a fair way to describe it.
I know it just seems so negative, like to say trying time. And I think that there is definitely it's difficult, but there are some positives that come out of it. I know it's hard to see now because we're in it, but I think again, if anything, this is when, like you said, the grit and the love and the loyalty that we have in this area, that this would be the time that we need to show our love and support to those that have allowed us to patron their establishments for as long as they have, and listen to us talk and become part of our families too, in a sense.
Yeah.
And again,
your podcast has certainly become part of our family. Filmed here in our living room every
one day I'll be able to set up the office as the studio, but right now it's in the living room, which is super comfy. So I'm not gonna lie,
this is comfortable. This is a very comfortable place to have a conversation.
I'm hoping that'll be the same impact when we relocate 50 feet away into the office, or maybe 25. But I do want to end this with saying, please, again, for your favorite establishments, whether it be anything from Grey Boutique, Kamara, to jewelry, to Alberini's, to Springfield Grill, to Noble Creature, Modern Methods, Birdfish, Penguin City, all of them, Numbers, even Courthouse Inn, like, please follow their pages to see what they're doing, because again, they're changing as we're changing.
Yeah.
And so I know right now majority of them are offering carry out, some of them even beyond, and offering delivery. So please make sure that you don't stop yourself from those joys that we had in our lives. Like, it was, I mean, I'm not gonna lie, like, I love a good meal that I'm not cooking.
Yeah, I think we're a pretty good team.
We are, but it's still nice to have that other food that doesn't come from our sweat equity.
I'm gonna take it to the next level, actually. Okay. And say that if you are going out and you are picking up takeout, or you're sitting at home drinking a local brew, tag Homes and Hops. Let us, like, take a picture of it. Tag Homes and Hops. Let us know what you're doing out there. Support local. I think everybody wants to see that. You know, I think that's important, obviously, to support the local businesses out there that are obviously struggling. So take a picture of it. Tag Homes and Hops. Make sure we see it. Tag the company, the restaurant, the brewery,
Please
whatever it
the,
is.
to let their customer, other customers know that you're out there supporting them and that people out there are supporting them. And like, I think most important, like this is so corny to say, but I think it's so relevant right now. Just be kind.
Yes.
Like there's just so much going on right now and so many people going through stuff and everybody handling it in their own different ways. Just be kind.
That's very good.
And support local.
Now you know who helps keep me in check. All right. Thank you very much for joining me on my podcast.
Thank you very much for having me. You know, I get to see everybody else coming and do it. I never get to actually be a part of it. So,
and then also know, so we can continue on having other local businesses come on. I am researching and looking into either Zooming, recording other of our local businesses and looking into Skyping to see which way is the best to record conversations. And of course, still send it over to Sound Union, who is absolutely fabulous. Deshaun, you kick butt, and thank you for helping me out through this time. So thank you, everyone.
Thank you.
All right. Cheers.